Hi, I'm Kristen Lara, and I represent the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, where this model was implemented. And I will go through what the model is, the impetus for it, and the program that it was implemented within, and then Simone will go through the evaluation of the model. No disclosures. So the Women's Wellness Connection is funded by both the CDC and state dollars. It's administered through the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. It's a statewide program that screens low-income women for breast and cervical cancer screening. And it's one really important facet of the program is that women who are diagnosed with a cancer through the program can then be enrolled in Medicaid to receive treatment. There are about 120 contractor clinics statewide, so individual locations where women can receive free breast and cervical cancer screenings. Those are made up of federally qualified health centers, local public health agencies, hospital systems, and safety net clinics. Women are eligible for free breast and cervical cancer screening if they're legally present of screening age, so 40 to 64 years old, have no health insurance or little health insurance, and are 250% of the federal poverty level or below. So this slide, I wanted to explain the impetus for why we implemented a bundled payment system or outcome-based payment structure. And so to understand that, you really need to understand first how the program was measured in terms of performance. So there's three main ways that the CDC measures our performance under this grant. First is through what they call core performance indicators, which assess whether or not we are screening the priority population of women in Colorado, and then whether or not we're providing timely and complete diagnostic follow-up and treatment to those women. So the CDC just wants to understand that we are doing a good job in providing high-quality services to the women in Colorado serve the program. The second reporting requirement is that we submit client-level data back to the CDC that's de-identified, but they have a wealth of data on our program and similar programs in each other state in the U.S. And then third, they measure performance based on our budget management and whether or not we spend all of the grant funds that are allotted to us. And based on those three things, in 2007, we received decreased funding by the CDC for two main reasons. First, we were inconsistently meeting or sometimes failing those 11 core indicators, in particular diagnostic follow-up. And we weren't consistently spending all of the funds that were awarded to us. So as a result, the program undertook quality improvement activities in an effort to improve this performance and serve the women in Colorado better. And hence, we developed what we call the bundled payment system. This was implemented in July of 2009, so it's been in use by Colorado for a little over 3 years now. Prior to that, we had a capitated payment structure, which meant we paid our contractors per person who was served in the program, regardless of what kinds of procedures needed to be performed or the complexity of the care. So we paid about $300 for a woman who received a pap test and a mammogram, as opposed to another woman who received a pap test, a mammogram, diagnostic imaging, and a biopsy. So those are very different costs to the clinic, but we paid $305 for both of those scenarios. In July of 2009, we moved from that to a level-based payment structure, which means cases were now paid based on clinical outcome. Those clinical outcomes or algorithms for ordering diagnostic services and performing certain procedures were incorporated into the level structure. And the level was assigned based on our electronic data and management surveillance tool that we used to collect data that we then needed to report to the CDC anyways in terms of that grant funding requirement. So we used that same set of data to assess what levels should be set for individual clients receiving services through the program. And I'm going to run really quickly through what this payment structure looks like. So what you're looking at right here is the payment structure, and I believe the second year of implementation for breast services in particular. And if we jump to the second line where you see the B2, this is describing a bundle of services we would typically see for a normal breast cancer screening. So a woman would likely receive a clinical breast exam and a mammogram, but then the clinic would also incur fees, administrative fees for enrolling the client, as well as patient navigation fees for bringing the client to their door and encouraging her to get the mammogram. So under the bundle payment system, we now pay $200 for this, as opposed to thinking back to the capitated rate, $305, regardless of what services were provided. Jump down to the bottom line, and this is for a client who has received a much more complex level of care. So this client received the same clinical breast exam and mammogram, but that one of those two procedures came back abnormal. And as a result, the client needed additional case management to ensure that she was going to return for her diagnostic services. And ultimately, the physician recommended that she needed a breast biopsy, which is a very costly procedure. So you see that cost jumps up from $200 to $1,445. Again, compare this to getting a capitated rate of $305 per person. This is the same structure for cervical screening services. Follows the very same pattern where a level two would be for a pelvic exam and a pap test, and that's paid at $110. These rates are loosely based on, or they're a combination of the Medicare rate for the individual procedure, as well as additional fees for the navigation and administrative costs incurred by the clinic. So if you compare the C2 to the C4, we're looking at either a normal screening at the top, as opposed to a pap test that's come back abnormal, and ultimately the client needed a colposcopy or some other diagnostic testing. And so now I'm going to turn it over to Simone Boyce, who's going to go through evaluation of this process in Colorado.
Morning. So after hearing about how great BPS was, the CDC and ICF wanted to come in and evaluate that. And part of the process behind this is that the CDC looks to see what innovative things were happening across the U.S. and whether or not they can implement that in other sites, states, practices. So what we tried to answer here then was, how has the quality and cost of screening and diagnostics changed for breast and cervical services? And we used data from ECAS system that Kristen just mentioned, and also from the core indicator data from 2007 to 2012. We also interviewed these service delivery providers to find out what their perspective was on BPS, rather than just looking solely at the numbers, and to inform these numbers as well. And we analyzed trend data then, comparing the capitated period to the BPS period, and then looking at costs over the capitated period, the BPS period, and then comparing this to the fee-for-service period, which is basically Medicare. Okay, so we look at, in what follows, we're looking at breast cancer services and cervical cancer services separately. And the Kristen mentioned quality improvement services, and there were actually two improvement initiatives that were instituted. So the first dashed line here, I'm not sure if you can actually make that up, was the data cleanup effort. And what Colorado initially tried to do was implement a systematic data cleanup effort where providers twice a year basically went in and massively cleaned their data to make sure that they were reporting timely and accurate data to WWC and then to CDC. And that was implemented in fiscal year 2008. Then 2 years later, in fiscal year 2010, they implemented BPS. So those are those two dashed lines. So what we tried to separate here was whether or not we're seeing quality improvement efforts, whether or not that was due to BPS or to this data cleanup effort. So that's why we have these two dashed lines there. So we examine this. Graph basically shows the duration between once a woman goes in and is screened and gets a result and actually gets diagnosed. And what we find is that once BPS was launched, that this duration actually fell by 4 days. So there's an association here between the launch of BPS and the decline in that duration between screening and diagnostics by 4 days. When we look here at cervical cancer, we see that the trend here isn't as clear. So you don't see this stark decline between the period right before BPS was introduced and after. And I actually forgot to mention. So what we did in the previous, how do I go up? No. How do you go back? Oh, there we are. So what we did here was we actually benchmarked, and I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that. So we benchmarked what the duration was right before BPS was launched. So you'll see that that triangle there is right on that zero line. So we're saying right before BPS was launched, what did that look like? What did that duration look like? And then we look at what happens after that and before that. And you see that before BPS was launched, it's actually pretty sporadic. It goes up and down, but it's pretty much above that zero line consistently. And once we launch BPS, you see this gradual decline. Sorry about that. So given the graphical evidence of this decline in duration, we also did some regression analyses to determine, one, whether a woman who has an abnormal cancer screening, whether or not she has complete follow-up. So if she goes in with abnormal cancer screening, do providers then diagnose whether or not she has cancer? And do they do this diagnosis in a timely fashion? So timely here is this diagnosis completed within 60 days? We also wanted to know whether or not BPS differentially impacted service providers. So we have service providers in rural and urban areas. We have service providers who are federal qualified health centers, local public health administration, safety net clinics. So we want to see if the BPS impact them all the same. And then we also want to see whether or not they impacted high or low performance sites differentially. So what we find here from the regression analysis is that once BPS is implemented, women were actually 5 times more likely to complete all necessary breast diagnostics. So they were actually diagnosed, yes or no, with breast cancer. And we do find that there were some differences across agency types, where FQHCs actually had more complete cases than safety net clinics. So if a woman went to a FQHC, she was more likely to receive a diagnosis than if she went to a safety net clinic. We see also that BPS was associated with a 37% more likelihood that they were going to complete this diagnosis within 60 days. So prior to BPS, that period could have changed, but once BPS was implemented, it was within 60 days. And that if a woman went to an FQHC, she was actually more likely to have that diagnosis within 60 days than if she went to a local public health clinic. We did not find any conclusive evidence between BPS and cervical cancer. And from our key informant interviews, many providers actually said that BPS was kind of like that hammer. So because you didn't get paid until everything was inputted into ECAS, which means that you had this complete diagnostics, this gave an instrument for providers to then speed up communication between departments. So now the radiology and the pathology department would actually talk to each other, and they'd really push us along because they know there was no payment until everything was done. So it gave them this very necessary hammer. So now we want to ask, well, how much does this all cost? So we see this definite impact on quality, but we don't know what's going on with cost. So just to recap what Kristen said, prior to this BPS period, it was a capitated period. So all providers received $305, regardless of what service they received. So if a woman went in with only received breast services, the provider got $305. If a woman went in and got both, the provider received $305. So we couldn't differentiate. So what we did then is in this capitated period, we just divided that by 2. So if a provider delivers both services to a woman, we basically say they got half of 305 for breast and half of 305 for cervical cancer. And we also deflated here the reimbursement rates by this medical care component of CPI. So you see here that even though they're receiving this flat rate of 305 prior to the launch of BPS, because it's different, it's inflated, it's really 348 in 2012 dollars. From that, we find that the average costs actually remain the same. So even though we're now incentivizing providers to do full diagnostics, the average reimbursement rate to providers was actually the same across this entire period. What you find here instead is that depending on the type of service that a woman received, the reimbursement rate actually differs. So prior to the launch of BPS in 2008, a provider who only provided breast cancer services received $213 per woman. And if he only provided cervical cancer services, he received $178. But in 2012, that reimbursement rate increased by 30% to $262. And for cervical cancer, it declined by 30% to $122. So you see this change there. And these results are actually confirmed by some regression analysis that we did. So we then compare this to Medicare. So how does the capitated rate versus BPS compare to fee-for-service? And what we do here is that, as Christian showed you, there are different bundles that come with each level. So we looked at that same bundle and compared that to Medicare by putting together their rates. And you find that, so again here you see that 305, so it's 305, which is the blue for capitated, which is the same across the different services. And I'm sorry, but those should actually have the levels. So it's B1, B2, B3, B4 for the first four bar graphs to the left, and then C1 through C4 to the right. We had so much trouble with this graph trying to get those, and I mean, we did everything, and I'm surprised that they didn't show up, so I apologize for that. And the same for below. So it's $305, a flat capitated rate. And you see here then that when you compare the capitated period to the Medicare rate, there's this huge gap, the more and more services that are offered. So there's almost this incentive that I, as a provider, I'm only going to offer the minimum service because my profit margin almost declines as I move along. And you see the exact same thing with cervical cancer, but just not as large. Once you move to the BPS period, you see that these incentives change, that now the provider is more incentivized to actually provide complete services. And the next graph makes that a lot more clear. So this is the exact same graph that we had before, but we actually just notate the difference. So this is the difference between the two different bars. And you find that in the pre-BPS period for breast cancer, as I move from B1 to B4, that margin declines. So I get $260 if I only did a clinical breast exam. But as I move to a breast biopsy, I'm actually losing $747. And then when we move to the BPS period, we find that it's the same for B1, but once I get to B4, there's this $108 margin though. And I see something similar with cervical cancer. And WWC actually uses information to kind of rejigger what their reimbursement rates are. So the way the bundle payment system works is that it's not static. Like every year, WWC goes in and they look and see what their payment structures are like. And they change that depending on how they want to incentivize different services, how payment rates have changed. So it's very dynamic. So in summary, the clinical data then shows that breast diagnostics were completed 4 days faster on average after BPS was launched. And for cervical cancer, there's no clear association there. And that's likely due to the smaller abnormal incidence rates for cervical cancer than they were for breast cancer. We find that women were 5 times more likely to have complete breast cancer follow-up once BPS was implemented, and that they were 37% more likely to have that care within that 60-day period. We saw also that for the cost, that the per capita reimbursement rate for breast and cervical cancer screening was pretty stable over time, even with the launch of BPS, so that didn't change the dynamics. And that the BPS and Medicare care rates were quite comparable. So just on a side, from our key informant interviews, we actually also did hear from a lot of providers that they were pleased with BPS. And the number of providers from the pre-BPS period to the post-BPS period has actually remained pretty stable. So there's not a lot of influx or decline where providers who once were in the capitated period move to the BPS period and decide that this is not what they want, they drop out. It's actually pretty stable over time. Thank you.